Well, let's open our Bibles as we do, and as we're impressed to continue to do, in John chapter 3, in verse 16. I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I'm going to read John 13, 34, and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another," or for another. Now, I'm going to pick up again today in these series of messages entitled "Speak the Word Only." And the last few messages, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about operating in faith. And today, I want to just continue with that a little bit. And if you have to have a message title, I know some folks do. This one we're going to entitle "Walking in the Light." And you'll see what that has to do and how that pertains to speaking the word only as we go through this lesson. Now, last week, one of the things that let's go over there first to 2 Corinthians 5:7, and just so we just kind of hook up for those that may have been here, those that may not, we won't spend much time here, but we'll just highlight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, familiar scripture verse, says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So we walk by faith. That word faith, that word in the Greek is pistis. Now, if somebody wants to correct me, that's fine. I'm saying it the way I think it needs to be said, pistis. Or I've heard it's pronounced. And that word in the Greek means a conviction of the truth of anything or a belief. It also is the conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Now, this is in vines, and I like this. It expresses this not differently, but it adds to. It says confidence. Now, whenever we hear the word confidence, it also expresses faith. Or a persuasion. And vines also says a firm persuasion. And I like this also in vines. It says faith is a conviction based upon hearing. Oh, I like that. Faith is a conviction based upon hearing. And I can tell you, hearing what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So faith, or a conviction that's based upon hearing, we're not just talking about faith in that which we hear, but we're actually talking about having the faith of God, which comes from what? The Word of God. So it's having faith, but it's also having the faith of God. And I believe in Mark 11:22 it says having faith in God or the faith of God. So one is going to actually have the faith of God from the Word of God, from hearing the Word of God. And so faith, you know, from a worldly standpoint, people end up having convictions, and if we're not careful ourselves, we can end up having convictions that are more tainted by worldly ideas from what we hear. So we can end up having persuasions and convictions that aren't godly. They're not from His Word, from what we're hearing. And that's one of the things that, of course, I know when you look and you read and you hear the things that we hear, one of the things that 2 Timothy talks about, and that in these end times, that these are in the end times or the last days, perilous times will come. And the times that we live in, if you look that word perilous up, it means dangerous or fierce times that we live. And we are living in a fierce time and a dangerous time. And a Greek scholar that I heard teach this particular scripture verse said that the last days, now the church has been in the last days. From the day of Pentecost till now, this is the last days. But he said when he referenced that term, the last days, he meant the last of the last days. And he said, you can begin to read verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in 2 Timothy, and you can see what's representative of the last days. These are very perilous times, dangerous times that we live in. And one needs to be led by the Holy Ghost. One needs to have a sensitivity to God. And one needs to have an absolute firm conviction and persuasion of God in these times. And you need not look to the right or the left. That you know who you are in Christ. And you know not only in what you believe, but you know in whom you believe. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the blood of Jesus. And I'm sealed by His Spirit. I'll tell you, years ago, back in the 80s, I think you've heard me share this story. I'll share it again because it has pertinence here. And I'm talking about demonic activity. I remember my sister was getting married, and she's still married to this man. He's a great guy. And I say it from that standpoint. He's a good provider, and he's married to my sister almost 30 years, and he has a wonderful family and a wonderful provider. And I'm believing for his salvation. But I remember as a young boy, he was a character. And they were going to a shower. They were having a shower that weekend. And I was home reading my Bible. And, of course, all the ladies were out, and he came in and started talking to him about the Word of God and God. And we sat for a while talking, and then he said, well, let's go in this other room, and we started to talk. And the long and short was he started to say some things that I said, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like God to me. He kept talking about his contact. I know God, but I have a contact. And he talks in my ear, and I said, not the God that I have. He talks in my spirit. So I began to just, my ear began to perk up when I heard that. And just out of the clear blue, I mean, we're talking like this, just talking. He jumped up from the table and beat his chest right in my face. It's just that quick. He jumped up and with blood-curdling eyes, he said, "The devil lives in here." That quick. And it caught me, didn't keep me off guard, because that quick, it was like a coat fell on me, just like this. That quick, anointing fell, just that quick. And up out of my spirit said, "I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus." And just that smooth, it came right up out of my spirit. And he looked at me and he turned and he walked out of the room. And for 2 days when he was in the house, when he'd come in the room, he wouldn't look at me. He just wouldn't look. He'd go and he'd look because he knew who I was. And he knew who I belonged to. And he knew I was protected by the blood of Jesus. That's how quick. And you need to know. And I'm serious about that. I'm not joking about it. And those things are going to happen. Happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's more overt than it was in the 80s. You had nice television shows in the 80s. Now you got zombies on television. And you've got this fixation with death. And so there's more manifestations of demons and devils right up smack in your face. And you better know who you are and who you serve. And you better know that the greater one lives in you. And you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be afraid of. I'm telling you, you don't have to. You know how some folks, they go, "Yeah," and they scream and yell and carry on. All I did was say, "I'm not afraid of demons or devils." I said, "I'm protected by the blood of Jesus." I didn't scream. I didn't holler. I didn't raise my voice. I just talked. And it came out of my spirit like a sword. Didn't come out of my head. Because really, it happened so fast, I didn't know what to say. It just come up. And that's one of the things that I appreciated recently when I heard Brother Copeland share that his daughter shared this. She said this. She said, "You let your mouth fill your heart with the word of God when you don't need it, so that your heart will fill your mouth when you do." See, that's what you need to do. You need to fill your heart from your mouth when you don't need it, so that when you do, your heart will fill your mouth like a sword and cut him to shreds. And whether it's demonic activity or whether it's a doctor reading a report to your face or some uncircumstance in the family that's just catch you by surprise, you need to know who you are. And you need to know the one you serve. And if you don't have an answer, you need to go to him. Stop asking your friends. Now, I'm not saying you don't ask your friends, but you need to have trust in God. Amen. So we walk by faith and not by sight. That means that when we walk, that means to regulate one's life. That means to conduct oneself in that manner. And that's how we walk. We walk that way. And so we were sharing over the last few lessons that another looking at the words and descriptions of what faith is, it's a conviction. It's a confidence. It's a firm persuasion. It's a persuasion, but a firm persuasion. And we need to have that type of firm persuasion. And so when all we did was take the word faith out and say we walk by our convictions and not by sight. We walk by our firm persuasions and not by sight. We walk by our confidence and not by sight. And so we looked at a few scriptures. It just, looking at that a different way and looking at the scriptures in another facet or another way. And this past Wednesday, we spent time looking at faith without works is dead. And so, as the body without the spirit is dead, dead just means it's non-productive. It means it's useless. The body is not serving a purpose when the spirit and the soul is out of it. It's just, it's morte, it's dead. It's just laying there. It doesn't serve a purpose. And as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. So you can have, and we shared this, you can have a conviction. I'll give you a perfect example. You can have, I'll give you two examples. You could say, I believe in marriage. I think it's a great institution. I'm firmly persuaded that I'm not getting married. So no works, you don't get, you know, you could believe in it. But if you don't get married, where's your conviction? You see. Same thing. You could say, you know, I believe in exercise. I think it's a great thing. I really believe in it. You can go to the gym and watch everybody work out and get a sweat just watching them. And go there for 20 years and never lose a pound. Because you didn't put any work to it. You didn't do any. You believe in it. Man, I'll tell you, you believe it. You think, yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely. You need to go. But I'm not going. And it's no different. You can come to church for 30 years. Come here and believe. Yes! Amen! And not do anything. And your faith, your convictions, you could have a firm persuasion. But I believe in James, it says somebody who doesn't do something, their religion is what? What does it say the religion is? Vain. Because they're deceived. That means deceived means they're hoodwinked. They're bamboozled. Hoodwinked means you think you actually think you're right. You're convinced you're right. But you are as wrong as two left shoes. Because you're not doing what you hear. See, and so we shared, we took time to share that. Just means that when faith without works, it just means that it's inactive, it's idle, it's unproductive. And we need to examine the areas of our life. If we're not productive in a particular area, make the adjustment, make the switch, make the change. Now, let's turn over for a moment to 1 John. Chapter 2. I want to spend a few moments here. 1 John chapter 2. And let's look at verse 9. Starting in 9. I'm going to back up to verse, I'll back up to verse 5. It says, but whoso keepeth his word, he's talking about God's word now, In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So I think that's funny. Let me stop here. Folks say, man, you're just trying to be like Jesus. That's the point. That's the point. That's what his word says. Even as he walks, so I'm to walk. Point him to that scripture verse right there. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because what? The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I tell you, that's a strong scripture verse right there. Let me read this in God's Word translation. Those who love other believers live in the light. Now listen to this. Nothing will destroy the faith of those who live in the light. Nothing will destroy the faith of those living in the light. Say, my faith will not be destroyed because I am walking in the light. Let me read this in the complete Jewish Bible. The person who keeps loving his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him that could make him trip. This is the New Living Translation. Anyone who loves other Christians is living in the light and does not cause anyone to stumble. And I believe in the King James, if you have a King James with a margin or a center margin, there's a notation next to the word occasion, and the word scandal is used. So you can't even fall into another, you can't even fall into a scandal by loving your brother. See, you wouldn't do something. See, some of the scandals that have been perpetrated is because there's things you wouldn't do if you loved your brother or sister. You wouldn't take advantage of them. You wouldn't act the way you do towards them. And so there's no occasion of stumbling in you. You wouldn't cause others to stumble. And your faith will not be destroyed if you live in the light. Now, living, when you look at that in the King James, when we talk about living, that means that you're same thing as walking. You're actually conducting your life that way. So how does one conduct their life that way? There has to be a firm persuasion. So that means nothing will destroy the faith of those. Nothing will destroy your conviction. Nothing will destroy your persuasion and your firm persuasion, because I'm in the light. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in love towards my brothers and sisters in Christ, and nothing can destroy my conviction of that. That supersedes my feelings. That supersedes how I think about another person. That conviction is the light. See, this isn't just You know, when we talk about convictions, your conviction is the light. Let's say it another way. Because if you have the mind of Christ and you're walking in the light and we are to walk by faith and not by sight, then my conviction is His thoughts. It is the light. So my persuasions, my convictions is the light, and it is love. So my conviction is love. It's not just a commandment. Yeah, it is God's commandment, but it is my conviction. It's my belief. And when I operate in the love of God, nothing will destroy that conviction. Nothing will destroy your faith. Does that make sense? It's another way to look at it. Hallelujah. So when things step on your toes and your feelings, you want to rise up and grind on somebody, what's your conviction? What is the light that's going to come from you? See. And I know we're all growing and maturing. I understand that. Everybody is. So wherever you're at, examine, look at that and say, okay, have I always operated with walking in the light? Have I always operated and walked? Because what a man thinketh, so is he. Now, let's go to, so you're right there in 1 John. Look at 1 John 1 and 7. It says, let's look at that scripture in light of this. 1 John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light, that means to conduct ourselves, to operate, to walk in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, you see, and that's the same thing that we're talking about here, having love towards one another. It says here, we have what? Fellowship. That's love. We have fellowship with one another, and what? The blood of Jesus cleanses us, what? From all sin. See. The Good News Translation says, but if we live in the light, just as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from every sin. Not some, every sin we're purified from. Because we are choosing to love. And we are walking in the light. So my conviction is the light. They're not separated. They're not different. I can't have one set of rules and thoughts and then God's word. They're one and the same. They're one and the same. His word is light. It is love. And so are my thoughts and my convictions. They are love and light. One and the same. So that's why when we operate in convictions and persuasions, when we speak the word of God, when we act in love towards someone, that's why when God said in Isaiah, He said, my words will never return void, but they will accomplish something. That's why when we operate in love and we're in the light and the blood of Jesus is cleansing us from all sin, we can affect something. Amen. And you will. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, so the things, the words that we speak are empowered of light. They're empowered from love. And they'll change something. You see that? Keep your finger there because we're going back. Go to John 11. Go to John chapter 11. Verse 9. John 11, verse 9 and 10. So Jesus answered. This is John chapter 11. Verse 9 and 10, it says, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." See? When we don't operate in love, we don't operate in convictions of God, in the persuasions of God, then we stumbleth. Because we're not walking in the day, we're not walking in the light, we can stumble. Let's go to Ephesians. I said keep your finger there. Sorry about that. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 8. Ephesians 5. Chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. And that word walk is peripateo. That's the Greek word. It just means to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. That means you are to conduct yourself. That means that is your conviction. That's your firm persuasion. And I believe over in Joshua 1:8, it talks about meditating on his word day and night and letting it not depart from your eyes, letting it not depart from your lips, so that you will make your way prosperous or productive. So you're going to have to meditate on the love of God. You got to meditate on God's word. And when you get that into your heart, it's going to change you, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. It's going to change you. Now, the New Living Translation in Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it." That's the New Living Translation. It says, "For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it." God's Word translation says, "Once you lived in the dark, but now the Lord has filled you with light. Live as children who have light." See. I like this as the Message translation. You groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. That means you were bumping around, But now you have the light of Christ. No more stumbling. Get on with it. Put your feelings down. Put the things aside. Because, you know, you ever hear Brother Hagin when the lady said, "I hate my mother-in-law"? He tells that story, and he said, he read the scripture. You ever hear the story where he read the scripture? He said, "He that hateth his brother is a murderer." And he said, "Well, you hate your mother-in-law, you're a murderer, you're going to hell." Oh, you know, the lady had a fit. And he said, "That's what the scripture says. You hate your brother, you're a murderer. And all murderers are going to hell. So you're going to hell." And she said, "Oh, that's hard." And he said, "Well, that's what the scripture says." And she said, "Well, I hate my mother-in-law." And so he said, "Look me in the eye," and he said, "Tell me you hate your mother-in-law." "I hate my mother-in-law." And he said, "Okay, what's going on the inside when you say that?" And she said, "Well, there's a little scratching down here." And he said, "Right. Your spirit is telling you that you don't hate your mother-in-law. It's your flesh. It's your thoughts that you're gravitating to." And so as we are children of the light, we need to put aside feelings and attitudes about things and walk in the light. Because as we do, nothing will destroy our faith. Nothing. That makes you invincible. You are invincible. Nothing. And that's why when the scripture says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," I can. Not some things, I can do all things. Because as I walk in the light, if I walk in the love of God, nothing will destroy my faith. Whose faith? God's faith in me. Nothing can be destroyed in me. Boy, I tell you, that's exciting to me. That means there's nothing that God will call us to do that's not possible. He can send us into the worst areas of this world. He can send us there. Now, I didn't say it was going to be comfortable. I didn't say it was going to be easy. He could send you to a job that is just full of the devil. But you are the light.
Glory.
And one thing's for sure is light will expose darkness. Light will expose evil deeds. Light will expose greed. Light will expose all kinds of corruption. And who's going to catch it? The light. But if you walk in love and you walk in the light, nothing will destroy your faith. Nothing will destroy you. And we need to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ and that nothing, no thing can destroy our faith. Second John, let's go to Second John. Went to First John. Let's go back to Second John real quick here. Second John, verse 6. Get a little something this morning. Second John 6, it says, "And this is love." What is love? "That we walk after his commandments." This is love. "And this is love, that we walk." That word is the same word, peripateo. It means to walk, to make one's way, to make due use of opportunities, to progress, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. So we are going to walk after his commandments. Now, just a few more points here. Let's go to Proverbs 4. I want to take a look at this for a moment. Proverbs chapter 4. And let's start in verse 18. We're talking about walking in the light. It says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, here you go. See, we always read this. Sometimes we need to back up a few verses. And then it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. See, we just got done saying, this is love. It's to walk in his commandments. And it says here, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward tongue, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's talking about having a firm persuasion. Boy, you better believe it. I'm convinced. Hallelujah. I'm not turning to the right or the left. I'm walking in the love of God. And I'm putting my feelings down. And we're all growing. And God is expecting us to say, okay, if you've had some things pinch, get over it. What did Pastor Tim say when he was here? Superalo. Get over it. See. Say, superalo. Get over it. That's what we have to do. Get over your feelings. Get over your little hurts and things. It's not about you. Amen. It's about you not walking in the light so the devil can steal more people. See, he wants you to focus on your little feelings and your little stuff and how somebody hurt you and didn't talk to you and didn't acknowledge you and said so-and-so to you. And now you walk out of the light and your faith is destroyed. Amen. And now you can't operate in faith. And then you don't please God.
Amen.
Isn't that true? Keep those things in your mind when you want to say something, when you want to act a certain way, you want to vent, you go, let me think about this. Is this pleasing to God? No. Then I'm going to do as they say, suck it up and walk in love and operate in the love of God. Because when I do, and see, here's the thing. It really blessed me because sometimes, you know, we read in the Bible, we talk about Jesus being transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, and folks will say, well, that was Jesus. Uh-huh. But Jesus set aside his glory. And he walked as a man anointed of the Holy Ghost, sinless, but he walked as a man, confronted with the same temptations and the same passions and the same feelings. And he was our role model. He's our Savior, but he was our role model. And none of us can really go before him and say, yeah, but, he said, but I did. So what would be your excuse? There is none. You have none. Because he said he was tempted in all ways like us and he didn't sin. So we really don't have an excuse. He gave us his word. He gave us his spirit. And he gave us gifts in the body to teach us and to guide us. So we really don't have an excuse. And he's just sharing with us, walk in the light. And the thing that blessed me is when I read that story, I stumbled on it a couple of years ago about this, and it was actually the article and information was, when I stumbled on it, was on the Sid Roth show. And I just happened to see it on the internet. And he interviewed someone who had knowledge of transfigurations in this earth today. And you know, you hear that, you go, really? Let me read about this. And he talked about a group of Africans back in the 30s called the Shining Ones. And you can look it up for yourself. I've given that information. If you don't have it, I'll give it to you. But these people back in the 30s began to walk and actually over time be transfigured. And they began to glow and shine. Literally, they began to glow. And the person who wrote the article said to glow would be one thing, but these were very dark-skinned people that were glowing. And that in and of itself was just unheard of. And they said what happened was that this happened over a period of years, 20-some plus years. This wasn't something that just happened, boom, and it happened overnight. It was a way of life. They conducted themselves this way. And they said any little offense towards one another, they would repent. And they'd ask for forgiveness amongst themselves. And they would ask forgiveness of God. And they wouldn't let any time go. They would ask for forgiveness. And they said they began to walk that way. And their skin, they began to be transfigured. Could we be a people that could be transfigured in front of the world? We're beginning to see some of it here, where when you create a climate of love and you create a climate of no fear and you create a climate of no hatred towards anyone, I don't care who it is, you create an atmosphere of the miraculous. You create an atmosphere where things can just happen. Suddenly, arms grow. Suddenly, organs grow. Because there's no hatred. Because we are walking in the light. And we can operate that way at home in our families. We can operate that way anywhere. And it said, if we walk in the light towards our brothers, nothing will destroy your faith. Nothing.
Hallelujah.
That's what it says. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transfigured is actually, when you look it up in the Greek, it says, be transfigured. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You literally become transfigured. Yeah, the word says transformed, but if you look up the Greek word, it's metamorphou. That's the word. Metamorphosis. So you're literally transfigured from one degree of glory to another. And that's what this scripture verse is saying here. The path of the just. The Good News Translation says, the road, I like this, the road the righteous travel is like the sunrise, getting brighter and brighter until daylight has come. Whoa! That means the road we're walking on is getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Not darker and darker. It's getting brighter and brighter. For the righteous. Because we're walking in the light. And when we walk in the light, we have his mind. We have his heart. We have strong convictions. And we speak them. And when we speak those convictions, it's the same, it's a sword. It says God speaking through us. And that's what will change this earth. That's what will change. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish, and we'll pick up on when I see you next. But let me just share, I'll share this scripture as we close. In Romans 4:17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things as though they were. I like this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, this is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who brings into existence what didn't exist before. Hallelujah. He's the God that'll raise the dead. He's the God that will cause something that didn't exist to exist. That's being transformed and transfigured. That's calling something that isn't, that as though it is. God's Word translation says, I have made you a father of many nations, Abraham, believed when he stood in the presence of the God who gives life to dead people and calls into existence things that don't even exist. He gives life to dead people. He gives life to dead organs. He gives life to dead things. He's the God that quickeneth. And he calls things into existence that don't even exist. Who's going to do that? We are. We are. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will speak to dead things and cause them to have life. We will call into existence things that didn't exist because we will have his convictions. We will have his mind and we are walking in the light. Is that not true? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. No more stumbling around. No more bumping around. We're in the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today. We bless your holy name. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your supernatural presence today. And thank you, Father, for guiding us. Thank you for opening our eyes to the light of your word. Thank you, Father, for putting in us deposits of grace, of truth, for us to walk on this shining path that we're on, brighter and brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you. We give you the glory today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God.